On this week's show, Andy heads to Boston, Massachusetts for PAX East 2018. And spoiler alert, he's back and he's going to talk all about it. Which games did he play? What were his favorites? And which ones deserve all of your attention? Find out this and much, much more on Nintendo Dual Screens, episode 41. Hello everybody, welcome to Nintendo Dual Screens, episode 41 for the week of April 9th. This is the PAX East 2018 edition episode. Very excited for this. Andy, welcome back.
Oh, I'm so glad to be back, Steven.
I know you are.
I'm so tired.
I know you are.
So many days of of games upon games upon games.
And amongst the sweaty masses.
I'm going to quit this podcast now.
For those of you who are new here to NDS Podcast, Andy and I, we go over the Nintendo news that you absolutely need to know about. We have an open discussion about Nintendo's past, present, and future. Nintendo Dual Screens posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure. You are getting this episode Monday evening, very late in the evening, so that we can cover all of the PAX stuff. Andy literally got back this morning, so we weren't able to record yesterday, which we normally do for a Monday morning release. So you're getting this a few hours late, but no big deal. Please remember to subscribe to Nintendo Dual Screens on your favorite podcast service and review the show. If you have Apple Podcasts, iTunes, whatever, give us a rating, and it really honestly does help the show get in front of more people. You could support Proven Gamer. What's Proven Gamer? Well, that is the website that Andy and I write for. I am the editor-in-chief, and also Nintendo Dual Screens is part of the Proven Gamer podcast network. You could support Proven Gamer over at Patreon on patreon.com/provengamer, just like our Patreon producer, Colton Nessler. We cannot continue to grow without your support, Colton, so thank you very much. Head over to Patreon and consider backing us for as little as a dollar. Every dollar helps. Guess what, Andy?
What's that, Steven?
Oh boy, we're gonna do a little tease here. We're gonna do a little tease. We're gonna do a little fondling of the tease.
Oh, behave!
Indeed, ladies and gentlemen, very soon, in a few weeks, and we will say more about this later. But Nintendo Dual Screens will be launching its own Patreon very soon. So look forward to that. Please be excited. What are we doing? Okay, so. Before we get into Andy's extensive PAX East coverage, let's go over what we're playing. Nah, who am I kidding? Nobody cares about what I'm playing. Everybody cares about what Andy's playing. But first, why don't we just go right over to the releases? Get it over with. What do you say, Andy? I know this is your favorite.
Is it a lot
of
things? Is it anything worth mentioning? Is it two good games and the rest are all garbage?
I mean, I'm pretty sure you played some of these.
I have no idea what's coming out this week at all.
Okay. Masters of Anima is coming out.
Oh, I gotta get that as soon as possible.
Super Daryl Deluxe.
That too. Gotta get it.
Bomb Slinger. What do we got? Break Forcist Battle. Never heard of that. As Divine Hearts. I actually heard something about that. Maybe I'm making that up. I don't know. Burly Men at Sea. That's actually a pretty good one.
I've seen that video before. One of my favorites, a classic in my library.
Here's a big one. Here's a big release here.
Handsome. That's a quote from the movie, actually. Here's a big one.
Yeah. Yeah. you're horrible. Don't Starve, the Nintendo Switch edition.
Oh, there you go. That's worth talking about. Yes, Don't Starve. Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Don't Starve gave me PTSD, so I don't know if I'll be playing that again. Regalia of Men and Monarchs, Royal Edition. Rogue Aces, Skies of Fury DX. Skies of Fury DX actually looks pretty good. I like flight games. It's been a while since I played one, a nice 3D flight game. Obviously, it's been a while since Nintendo fans were able to play something worth a damn. Because Star Fox is garbage. Streets of Red, Devil's Dare Deluxe. Pirates All Aboard, which is a $5.99... which it still costs less and is probably infinitely more fun than Sea of Thieves. I think that's it. Hold on. Math. What does math say? Yep. Math says that's it. All right. So there you go. Obviously, if you like survival games, I think Don't Starve is an absolute must-own for the genre. It's one of the better ones of the genre by far.
And all right, so that's from the guys who are making Mark of the Ninja Remastered, bringing that to Switch pretty soon. Pretty good.
All right, so that's going to bring us to our lead story, which is all about Andy, and I know how much he loves that it's all about him. Andy and I were both supposed to go to PAX East. I had some family issues here in Brooklyn, New York, that I needed to take care of. So I actually wound up going to a local little geek convention called Geek Fest 2.0. It's the second year. It's a little thing in my neighborhood. It has a lot of local vendors, but we'll talk about that on a future episode, because some of these guys' art is actually really amazing, and I want to definitely plug it on the show at some point. If you want to be a part of the show, you can email us at nds@provinggamer.com. That's nds@provinggamer.com. You could ask us any questions. You could give us suggestions for news. But anyway, Andy, this is your shining moment.
I'm going to choke, aren't I?
Well, you can't choke any worse than I.
The news this week. Unless Nintendo filed for bankruptcy, we're not going to report the news on this episode.
Yeah, we are, because PAX, you know, the games you played is the news, but I guess if you want to mention anything, and I don't have the article in front of me, but you could Google it if you want. There was a leaked supposed screenshot of Pokemon running on Switch. I believe some internet sleuths were able to dig, and it does look pretty similar to Ultra Sun and Moon, but I guess there's a program out there for PC or something like that that allows you to run those games in, like, it uprises them to 4K or something like that.
Yeah, it's a 3DS emulator. Why are you wasting my time? Yeah, this isn't news. This is whatever it is. This is people with big dreams.
I'm just saying.
We ain't getting no Pokemon this year for this.
That was one of the things that. That was one of the things that really took over the internet as far as Nintendo goes. But anyway, Andy, take it away. Tell me about some games.
Steven, I played so many games, my fingers hurt. They're all blistered up.
Did you use Purell?
Yes. Some of the tables have their own little bottle at the station, which I appreciate. But I do bring my own because gamers are filthy. No.
Because you're smart.
No, so a lot of games and... A lot of indies. I always go for the indie games first at these big shows, because that's where you'll find the best games on the entire show floor, like, hands down. But before we go into that, I want to get into my time at Nintendo's lovely booth, which was massive and had the largest line that would be filled to capacity within minutes of being on the show floor. I felt every single day... The guy with the line closed sign was just there almost immediately.
Jeez.
So you wouldn't find out at PlayStation's booth, the anticipation, or at Microsoft booth. It was Nintendo was the star, I think, of this convention. And for a really good reason, yes.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So my approach for this little segment, was to discuss my favorite games through a series of awards I want to hand out to my top picks, or not top picks, for this year's PAX.
Is this the first ever NDS PAX East?
Yes, it is.
Awards,
and there's so many, Steve. There's so many, and right off the bat,
ladies and gentlemen, it's the first annual NDS PAX East Awards. And here's your host, Andy Asmachis.
I'm going to Steve Harvey this and give the best award to the wrong game. All right, Steve, right off the bat, let's not waste any time here. The award for the best go-to toilet game is Dark Souls Remastered. Oh, my God.
Woo. Oh my God. This frightens me a little bit.
Also, Steven, before you go on, this should not be confused with the best toilet game, which goes to Sea of Thieves.
Ah, yes.
Which is the experience that aspires to be as deep as a toilet. All right, so the best go-to toilet game, Dark Souls Remastered. So this is a...
Wait, hold on. Because it scares me a little bit.
Dark Souls scares you?
Did they no, the fact that you did you play this on a toilet? I'm confused how
this is my new go-to toilet game. I can finally I can fling dung pies in game and real life both at the same time.
Congratulations.
So yes.
Dark Souls.
So Bandai Namco and Nintendo want us to care about this game on the Switch a whole lot. Now, as you recall, this game was debuted, revealed during the Nintendo Direct. I think it was their last big one prior to the Nindies. And this game was only playable at Nintendo's booth. There was a Bandai Namco area which had Soul Calibur 6 and Code Vein, which were both amazing in their own right, but that's not about the show. And the line to play that game in Nintendo's booth was the longest and most popular game of their entire stuff. Between like Donkey Kong and you know, Luminous Remastered and the Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition, this was the most popular title, Dark Souls Remastered.
That's impressive considering, you know, how, I mean, no offense, how old the game really is.
Yeah, I mean,
that's pretty cool.
The game looks and feels amazing. Hearing the Firelink Shrine music play again in my ears was, it took me back to when I first played Dark Souls many years ago. And it's an interesting idea because there are so few games that when you hear a tune or a melody from like the olden days, that nostalgia comes back to you. But a lot of modern games can't do that for me. But for some reason, that track gets to me. It strikes an emotional chord. Ha ha. Ha ha. So that's the award for the that's my best go-to toilet game. I imagine myself playing this game on the can for a very long period of time. Very long period of time. And it'll just also scare the poop out of you. Before I move on, just as an FYI, the best Dark Souls award goes to a game called Sinner, Sacrifice for Redemption. Now, this is not coming to the Switch. But it is, I played it for a little while. It is an adorable. It is a, I don't want to say that, it's like a Dark Souls game. It's like a Dark Souls, but imagine before you fight a boss, you have to de-level yourself. And it's like, oh, sweet maker, end my suffering. That was a great game. So a little side note there. I want all our fans to check this game out. It's called Sinner, Sacrifice for Redemption. All right, moving on to my second big award of the show. That is the Not Medios Award, which goes to Luminous Remastered. So this, I spoke to our, you know, our super fan Zach has got some competition, by the way. We have a new super fan in the making, Joe Gonzalez, who was at PAX East this year.
Oh, wow.
And who I spent some time with.
Oh, interesting.
We even indulged in some sweet karaoke one night. And Steven,
I'm just finding out about this now.
Well, I saved it for the podcast.
But you couldn't tell me that you met one of our fans at PAX East?
I had to keep it hush-hush. Because I want your reaction to be raw and genuine.
Well, I'm very upset with you about this.
So we sang some karaoke. Let me tell you, this boy can do a rendition of Journey's Separate Ways that would blow Steve Perry's socks off. Oh my God. I even got some video of it. I got to show you later at some point. So we discussed Luminous Remastered. He thought it was Medios. And I was like, yeah, I missed that game. Why wasn't it that game? Why is Luminous Remastered being released on the Switch? Who asked for this? A PSP launch game is coming to the Switch? Why? I'm so confused by this.
I mean, it's good. It's not like it's a bad game.
No, it's a great game, but it was overshadowed by another game, Just Shapes and Beats.
Yes, you told me about this one.
Which brings me to my next award for the show. This is the Double Plus Good Award, which goes to two games. Right, Steven? Two games. Double your pleasure, double your fun.
And what is this award for?
It's just two good games that I played on the show.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha.
So it's two games that are so good they had two of their own stations. They were featured in Nintendo's booth and on the show floor in the Indie Mega booth. That's how good these games are. So nice. I played them twice. That's how good they are. So the first was Just Shapes and Beats, which it's essentially a it's Bullet Hell set to dubstep. How I can best describe it to you. It has been on Steam for a very long time, not released yet, early access, or I think it's been in coming soon phase for a long time, and they announced it at the show. It's going to come to the Switch as well, and I'm so glad for that. It has it's a four player co-op, and it has that advancing screen like Gradius type mechanic.
Sure.
And as the game generates music, shapes and bullets, probably you have to basically dodge them with your little ship, which is like a little. It's a shape, a little triangle or a square or a circle.
Right.
And this game was featured at Nintendo's booth on the outside alongside Splatoon 2, like a main attraction, like crowd gathering game, like watch a bunch of us try to fight a boss. And the people went nuts for it. Oh my God, this game, the music is so good. Now, Steven, I can't dance for shit.
Yes, I know.
It's the whiteness in me, unfortunately.
Yeah. You're basically translucent.
Yeah, exactly. But this game, it made me want to dance. And that is the highest honor I can bestow to a game.
As a gay man, absolutely.
It made me want to dance.
And now, let me ask you. Yes. Hold on. Because I'm trying. I don't understand how the game actually works. So, are you like hitting along? Are you like doing button?
No, there's no
prompts you with the beat. Ship. Like, how does it work?
Ship is in air quotes.
So you're just moving around.
You're dodging music that is in the form of shapes and bullets and sound waves and obstacles.
So you can tell like what's coming at you based on the sound that it makes.
Exactly.
Like
if you get this music pattern in your head, you can sort of foresee where to go, where the shapes are going to come from.
Gotcha. Okay.
But it's really stylistic. It's simple, but it's really cool looking at the same time.
Sure.
And it was really, really, really dope. It was dope. Those beats were sick.
They were fat beats.
They were rad. Bad fat beats.
Rad. Def fat. Good.
Yes. Double plus good, yeah. Steven.
Double plus. Def fat. Yeah.
All right. Now the second game in this category of double plus good award. Goes to... Oh, and that game is coming in summer of 2018, by the way.
Yes.
In case you're wondering. Yep. By Berserk Studio. The second game in this category goes to The Messenger, which is the best Ninja Gaiden game I ever played.
Oh, my Lanta.
This game, oh my God. So this is coming end of summer of 2018, courtesy of Sabotage Studio. It is a game that is about messing with your expectations of how the game should play out and should feel. So it starts off almost like beat for beat like Ninja Gaiden. You're a ninja, shit goes down, you have to go make
things. There's a Gaiden.
You have to go make things right. Yes, there's a Gaiden. The guy looks like Ryu Hayabusa. He's in a blue like garb, all masked up. It is literally like a love letter to Ninja Gaiden. Mm-hmm. But then within two or three screens, the game has a tone shift where it's like Deadpool levels of humor, where the ninja is complaining about all these lessons about prophecies and world-ending scenarios that have yet to come to pass. He goes to class every day. He's always late, apparently. And then as the game starts, the apocalypse begins and the demons come. So,
of course,
you're handed a scroll by the Western hero, the hero of prophecy, who shows up late, by the way. And he's like, here, take this scroll. I now deem you the messenger. Travel east and deliver it. So you set off on your path. And again, it seems very straightforward, like a Ninja Gaiden game. But once you enter the shopkeeper's area, that's when the game delivers its first twist. And there's a skill tree. You can upgrade your weapons. And it's like, huh, this is not in a Ninja Gaiden game. This is really different from how these games are supposed to play out. And then what happens after that is There are these little rifts in time, these little blue portals. Once you step into them, the game shifts from 8-bit to 16-bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire aesthetic changes. Even your character's look is entirely different. It's not just an upscale. It's a totally different outfit.
Right.
Now, the
kind of looks like, if I remember correctly, it kind of looks like Raiden. Is that right?
Yeah, from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, like with, yep.
So the design changes, the layouts of the levels change. So it's basically the past and the future, or the present, which is the past mm-hmm. and the future. So obstacles will clear in 16-bit as opposed to them being in, you know, all blocked off in 8-bit.
What I'm worried about
yes.
in this game mm-hmm. is one of the things that I had the most difficulty with Guacamelee, which was the puzzles that had you switching from the two worlds back and forth in order to complete puzzles, but like mid jump. Did you see that kind of thing going on?
No, none of that. I'm pretty sure it'll be there though. The portals are laid out in a way where it makes sense. And
you don't actively trigger.
No. It's all by design.
The portals are just, yeah. Yes. See that I prefer that. Cause
yes.
one of the things that I got stuck on with Guacamelee was there's this one vertical section where one wall is in one world and then the other world, the wall is in the other world. So you have to like do these back and forth wall jumps and you have to switch between the worlds as you're jumping. And for whatever reason, I guess I'm too much of a left brain or whatever it is. I don't know. I wasn't able to like get my head around it. And I actually got stuck at that point. I loved Guacamelee, but I could not get past that point. So like, I guess that's why like a lot of platforming games are not really for me. And I was hoping this would be more of like an action type game. So
it is.
It seems like it leans more towards that. It is first and foremost
Ninja Gaiden, like a hack and slash side-scrolling platformer, mm-hmm. like... Even the music, it sounds like the B-sides of a Ninja Gaiden game. That's awesome. How authentic it feels. And just to get back on for a quick second to Guacamelee, I played part two at PAX East.
Oh my.
You turn to a chicken.
Segway.
That's the that's
yes,
the
I know.
Puzzle. Yes, that's the puzzle mechanic. You turn to a chicken.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What is it with chickens?
I don't know. It's they're just, like they're like making that bomb a comeback. Chicken game coming out for the Switch. I don't know. Chickens are in style. Chickens and cats. That is the future chickens of game development, Steven. Chickens and cats. All right.
Speaking of cats, before you move on.
Oh, God. There are no cat games on my list.
Our friends at the Gentle Bros have teased a follow-up to Cat Quest on their social medias. You know how I love that Cat Quest. It was a picture of a cat paw, and next to it what appears to be, possibly, a dog paw.
Is this you trying to sneak in news during my segment?
Maybe.
While we're teasing, listeners, I'm going to tease an article, which you can find on Proven Gamer later this week. I will run down the list of the top 5 cat games at PAX East 2018.
You heard it here. So this could potentially be the fourth time Andy has plugged an article that he will never write.
Oh, shut up. I hate you so much. I'm going to make you my go-to toilet game. I will shit all over your face.
Listen, as the new editor-in-chief of ProvenGamer.com, it's only fair that I tease you about stuff like this.
Okay, so that does it for the Double Plus Good Award. Congrats to Messenger and just Shapes and Beats. Moving on to the No Regrets Award. No regrets. This goes to Travis Strikes Again because I did not play it. And I don't regret it.
I heard good things about it.
Listen, it looks fine.
I heard it was fun.
If you liked Fury, which was on PC and PS4, mm-hmm. if I recall correctly.
I did.
It has a similar aesthetic, which I was into. But the gameplay looked really simplistic. And I was not about that life. I was like, I'm not going to jump off the Dark Souls line to play this. And that, like, I can let that sit for a little while.
I think other editors from Proven Gamer did play the game, so look forward to some written content
right.
on that.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right. All I'm saying, no regrets. And that's coming sometime in 2018. Not sure when that's going to come out, but this year, that's for
Indeed.
Sure. All right, moving on to more games in the Nintendo booth. This is the Almost Most Japanese Award, which means there's a Most Japanese Award. I'm just teasing the later awards here.
Foreshadowing.
Yes. So this award goes to Sushi Striker, The Way of Sushido.
Yes.
Oh my god. Okay. So this game is launching on June 8th worldwide for 3DS and Switch. Why bother for 3DS? I'm not sure, but it is what it is.
Because so, it's going to sell like pretty well on there.
So here's a rundown of the plot here. There's uh-huh. there's an empire who has a monopoly on sushi.
As their
sushi
normally
is forbidden
yes.
if you're not part of the empire. There's a Bastards. Sushi Liberation Front.
Huh.
This is pretty Japanese, but it's going to get even more Japanese as you go down the line for these awards.
To me, that sounds like you can't get any more Japanese.
Well, yeah, you think so,
honest.
But we'll get there. Just hold on to your hold on to your panties, Steven. We'll get there.
My knickers are fastened.
We're in a bunch. So the goal is there's conveyor belt sushi that goes in front of you and your opponent, and you have to eat sushi with matching plates, which are white, green, red, etc. And as you eat off the sushi, you stack plates of matching colors, which you can then fling to your opponent to cause damage.
Okay.
Now, this is, like I said, it is the almost
Japanese.
Most Japanese award. It was fun.
That's pretty Japanese.
It was cute, and I foresee this being a Nintendo Switch purchase for sure. It has a competitive feature to it as well. A really batshit insane plot, which I love, because, come on. It's like Footloose, but with sushi.
Amazing.
All right. Okay. Moving on to the next category, which is the Notice Me Senpai Award.
Ah, the Notice Me Senpai
yes.
Award.
This is the game that I feel deserves everyone's attention because no one's talking about it. I stumbled upon it by accident on Facebook, and then I saw them at the show in a little small
okay.
corner. They were right next to Guacamelee, too. Oddly enough.
Excellent.
And this game is called Battery Jam. Battery Jam, which is, it's out now for Steam, and it was announced just last week for the Nintendo Switch. It is a, it describes a territorial mayhem multiplayer game. So players, it's like a four-player competitive game with a Bomberman-style viewpoint, isometric view. And you utilize okay. an exploding block called a boombox to paint the ground with your chosen color and to also wipe out your opponent at the same time.
Yes, I did see this. This is kind of like a like Bomberman meets Splatoon.
Yes, and it reminded me of there was a mini game from Mario Party 7 that was called, or was it 6? One of those two. Listeners, feel free to call me out on this. It was 6 or 7, but I believe the game was called Tile and Error. It was a 2v2 game. You would ground pound tiles, and whoever
right,
covered
yeah.
the most ground won the match, basically. So that same
right,
idea,
and,
but it's
and
a
there
free
was
ball.
There was a game. There's actually a game out on the Switch right now that is that mini game. It's the exact thing. It's where you slam the ground and it changes. But like if somebody's next to you, they fall through the earth through the level.
Oh wow!
That?
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, but go ahead. Keep talking.
Gonna say that when this game comes out for Switch, I'm gonna probably never play Bomberman R ever again or sell it because this game looks way more fun than Bomberman and it looks way more slick at the same time. It's got some fun characters. It's all about colors that pop off the screen. Now they only had the Steam build at the show, but it is coming to the Switch. I assume some point this year. But we're going to get these guys on the show. So look out for the guys from Halcyo, the developer of this game, in the near future on the NDS podcast. All right.
Oh, look at that. Look at that.
I know. All right, Steven.
Get hype.
This is the next. Yes, that's you. Next award. This is the Would Have Upstaged Mario Tennis Fit Was There award. And that award goes to Spirit Sphere DX. Oh my god. Spirit Sphere DX is being published by Fabraz, who developed and published such hits as Slime Son, which I love, 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 love that game.
Yeah.
So this game looks like a dropped concept of a what would have been a Pong slash air hockey minigame from Oracle of Ages slash Seasons.
That's quite the description. Okay.
I did write that myself, actually. I'm pretty proud of that.
Wow, it's amazing. That should go on the box art, actually. I know. Go right on there.
Yes, quote. Fabraz and developer Endhorn, take note of my quote and put it on your box art. All right. Anyway.
Yeah.
So you can pick from 10 different characters with their own unique abilities. And it plays like a Pong air hockey game where there's a sphere in the middle. It's like a fantasy setting. And you have to essentially score points on your opponent. Now, what makes it fun is the abilities. Like, one character can swing an axe. So the sphere, you know, it gets a lot of propulsion. It bounces around frantically. I picked a gargoyle character that can essentially have a charge. Like, he can catch the sphere like a dodgeball, then release it. But if you're charging, you move slower. So there's some risk in that as well. So again,
this one was on the Indies showcase, right?
In the recent one.
I know I've seen something about this.
I'm sure it was showed in an Indies before, but I don't think in recent
something
memory.
Like that. I don't know.
Mm. I don't know. The most notable thing about this game is the vertical hand-to-hand mode, which you can take your Switch tablet, turn it vertically, and you can play with someone on a single Switch tablet competitively.
Yeah. That's a really cool idea. Yeah. I really like that type of innovation. I guess it's not technically innovation, but I like that use of the Switch. I feel like you could do a lot with that.
Yeah, this makes a whole lot of sense. And I like how this developer has embraced the Switch technology and its hardware and how they can make it best work for their game. And I can see why this is a exclusive game for the Switch, which comes out April-May of this year. So hopefully by end of next month, we'll see this game.
Okay, soon.
Wait. All right, and the last game I want to mention... the last Nintendo game I want to mention is the award for the most Japanese award.
Okay, here we go. This is the moment you've all been waiting for.
Oh,
folks.
My God.
You heard the not one. Most this Japanese game. One. Almost most Japanese.
The award for the most Japanese game at PAX East 2018 goes to Galgun 2.
Please. Yes.
Galgun 2, which comes out on April 24th. Just 2 weeks away, kids.
Gonna give God of War and Super Troopers 2 a run for their money.
Oh,
that
you have
week,
no idea. This
for
is
sure.
I almost named this the Game of the Year award in my notes. It's in there somewhere.
Amazing.
You know. So this game, I'm just gonna read some description here. So it gives players 30 days to survive demonically possessed classmates and their advances by using a pheromone shot gadget, which induces a euphoric orgasm. I'm sorry, exorcism. And then there's a demon sweeper gadget, which you can use to suck up, awkward pause, pesky demon menaces. And also some clothing as well, if you felt so inclined. Whoops.
Yeah,
now she's naked.
Whoopsies. Right.
And here is a quote from the game itself on the website.
Okay.
Because I feel like I tried to write some jokes for this award, but the game writes it for me. There's no need to do like a single entendre here. It's all in your face and relevant. There's no way around it. So here we go. Get up close and very personal. Enter Doki Doki mode, which returns in its biggest, boldest, and bounciest guise ever to rub, caress, and poke your way to happiness.
Whew. I honestly cannot think of a better way to spend
really
my commute.
You can't top that.
No. I don't play my Switch on the train, but if there was any game that I would play on the train, it is going to be Galgun 2.
Oof. Oh boy. That is a
Boy, is that Japanese.
Oof. I'm telling you, man, I told you. Sushi was one thing. Wife was another. Because, you know, You think, what could be more Japanese than sushi? Well, it's anime chicks in you know, in schoolgirl uniforms. And the demo I played, there was the word, oh, my butt kept popping up. I'm like, what's going on? What is happening?
Well, you were clearly shooting the wrong hole.
No, I was shooting the right hole, Steven. Did you not hear my description?
I heard your description, but if they're complaining about their butt...
I was trying to poke my way to happiness.
If they were complaining about their butt...
I mean, it was a very... Poker, I hardly even know her. Okay, that's my dad joke for the day.
I think there was some accidental anal. So I want to stay on...
In 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah. I want to stay on PAX before we move on to anything else.
Okay.
Because I want to...
I still got some more to talk about, though.
I know you have more. Well, you said that was it for Nintendo, right?
Sure, but I do have some more awards to dispense before this is over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Steven, right, go ahead. Come on now. I have two
well,
awards.
Again, you didn't give me anything.
No. If you let me, awards, can so. I finish? Can I finish?
No.
Can
you
I finish?
Thank you very much, everybody, for hanging out with us. This has been Nintendo Dual Screens episode 41 for the week of April 9th. As always, be excellent
to
each other.
I have two more awards to give out. It's the same award for two different games. This is the non-Tendo award.
Oh.
It's for two games that are not coming to the Switch.
They're not coming to the Switch.
One which will never come to the Switch because it never will. Just like Spider-Man, which was confirmed by Insomniac Games. To never come to the Xbox this week? Like, why did you have to reveal that? Like, why was that worth announcing on Twitter, Insomniac? The most ridiculous tweet ever. Like, we know
as
that
a, as
that
a middle
game
finger.
Will not come to the Xbox One. So, the first game that goes to is Detroit Become Human, which I played for a bit in Sony's booth. I loved it. The demo was a hostage situation going on. There was a deviant android which slaughtered his owner and then took the deceased father's daughter captive.
This was the rooftop one, right?
Yes, which I think was in the GDC demo and other ones before it. And the best part was there was a guy who was in my queue waiting to play. He had been there all day long trying to get the girl killed somehow. His intention was to get that girl killed. I kid you not. He was in front of me. He played it, and because there's three outcomes: either you save the girl and yourself, and the android dies; you save the girl, and both you and the android die; or the third and most horrible option that can play out is everyone dies.
Right.
And the PR guy on hand made it very clear that you have to go really, really out of your way to get that girl killed.
You have to like not find all the clues. Yeah, draw your gun immediately.
You have to like approach him very like quickly and just be very aggressive and all these different factors.
Hey, I'm tired of your shit.
Yeah. I was kind of sad there was no fourth option, that you couldn't save them all, because I was really good to the android. You know, I felt his pain. I came from a very empathetic standpoint.
And which then, is surprising because you're a garbage person.
Of course, you know, who knew that I had an enemy to be empathetic, you know? I'm more about apathy than empathy.
True.
But I saved that for real life.
Yes.
And I had... 100% chance of saving the girl. So I thought, oh, cool. Maybe I can save the android too, and I'll be, you know, we're going to walk away and sing Kumbaya in the woods and eat biscuits at some point. But,
biscuits in the woods.
Yes. The, when the demo ended, the android was shot down with sniper fire.
Oh, my.
And then as the android dies, he goes, "You lied to me, Connor. You lied to me." As his voice is all garbled and like and weird, like here's the shutting down voice, and it gave me the chills, and I was like, I gotta walk away from this game. So that's my first award for the non-Tendo. That comes out May 25th, I believe, on PS4. Now this next game is it's going to be on Steam, I believe. It is a game that, while it's not coming to the Switch, I want it to come to the Switch. It's a game called Black Future 88.
Okay.
Which I kept calling Black to the Future. So
it once is, again, if you have anything you want to say, please write into us at nds@provinggamer.com. Anything that may come to your head, who knows, if you have any sort of comments,
Steven,
questions,
I had
or concerns.
Some really off-color jokes.
No, you know what else you can do?
The segment that I decided not to go with.
You can also go to our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/PGNDS, if you feel so inclined. I'm pretty sure we have a Discord out there somewhere. There's a Proven Gamer Discord. You can follow us on Twitter. You know,
can I finish
anything you want to do?
Talking about Black
if you
Future.
Have anything, yeah. If you have anything that you want to say after this segment, please feel free to write into us. Just understand that. Just don't tag me. You know, just you know, I'm
no,
the innocent party.
You can,
party
you, can,
in
you,
all
can
this.
You can
go
all,
ahead, Andy.
You can at me all you want. Just get up all up in the mentions. As often as you'd like, I welcome the banter. Just come at me,
I'm just
bro.
Gonna sip my blackberry cucumber.
Speaking about blackberry, so Black to the Future. I'm sorry, Black Future 88. It is. I really hate to describe one game to other games to dumb it down, but I'm gonna have to again, for the third time this episode. This is a cyberpunk as fuck rogue legacy game. It is
okay.
It's as if you took Enter the Gungeon and made it a 2D side scrolling platformer.
Okay.
So in the game you climb a procedural tower that upgrades itself the higher you climb.
Right.
And other players can affect and influence how the game upgrades itself and lays itself out to you. Now, it's all about getting weapons, getting guns, which have very, very limited ammunition. So you got to conserve your bullets.
Conserve.
And there's a little bit of a bullet hell in there into involved. But it's this is like my, between this and The Messenger and maybe Just Shapes and Beats, my favorite soundtracks from the entire weekend. Those three games
killed
it in the soundtrack department. I don't know who is making their music, but I know that for this game in particular, Black Future, it's coming to vinyl, and I'm going to buy that shit day one. That's how good the score is for this
vinyl.
Game. Yeah, it's really
good. Do you even have a record player?
I don't, but I don't care. I just want it on my wall. I will display it proudly and say, great Scott, there's my Black Future vinyl.
This is coming for Steam, you said?
It's going to be on Steam. Yeah, it's on the Steam wish list right now. So I think all of our listeners should go and vote for this game. It deserves your attention. As do all the games that I talked about in this episode. But yeah, Nintendo really came strong PAX East 2018. It was nice seeing so many games that were coming to PS4 and Xbox One also going to the Switch as well. And that's what we discussed earlier about a lot of these developers looking to the Switch as a necessity and not an afterthought for game development. And that was like center stage at PAX East this year.
Yeah, I mean for me, just being, you know, an outsider looking in to what PAX is all about, it seemed like if an indie dev could be a part of the Nintendo scene, they chose that route over their other platforms that they were on. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think it's fairly accurate. Yeah, I'm not going to dispute that. That sounds about right.
So I want to talk about a couple other things. So the Floor Kids booth
they were there
looked
in full
awesome.
Effect.
That looked awesome what they did. They made like these cabinets, these like arcade cabinets with like switches built into it. It was crazy. Did you visit the booth?
Yeah, I stopped by. John was always talking to someone. That guy was in full, like, I am trying to sell my game to these folks. They always had a crowd going because that's the game that attracts a crowd. It's all about the soundtrack and the art.
Yeah.
And that game brought it.
It's also super positive. Like, just the way, you know, you're never, like, mad or discouraged about, you know, while you're playing the game. It's all, you never feel like you're really shitty unless you just don't play the game and it just, you just keep doing whatever.
But they weren't the only one that had an arcade set up for their game. There's another game. Oh God, what was it called? Wolver or Wolven? It's like,
yeah,
it looks Wolven, like, it looks like a Gauntlet Legends or a Gauntlet game from the arcades.
Yeah.
Like a side scroller, four player type scenario. They had their own custom arcade cabinet built too, and that looked pretty sick when I passed by.
Awesome.
There was one guy. I love how some of these developers try to get you to play their game. This one guy kept saying, "Underwater Metroidvania, underwater Metroidvania." I was like, "I don't want to play that."
Yeah, that's probably the worst part of a Metroidvania.
I was like, go and sell your wares elsewhere, my friend. I am not buying. It did look cool, but I was just, you know, one thing I realized being in the indie mega booth is that you come across a lot of games that utilize sprites. And
right.
While those are typically, as you've come to call them, Andy-as-fuck games, it was just overload. Like, I OD'd on retro graphics this weekend, and it was too much.
To me, the Andy-as-fuck games are not necessarily just sprite games, but more like those challenging platformer, bullet hell, whatever type games. Those, to me, are Andy games. For me, I like action with, like, RPG elements. I like roguelikes. Those are more like my speed. So what else, man? Like, were there any other, any cool parties? Did you go to any cool parties while you were there?
Aside from the karaoke, and there was I went to a meetup. It was this Facebook group that I'm a part of called Golden Fruit Gaming or Gold Fruit Gaming. It's, it's about gamers with a Y.
Gotcha.
So the I for that is for the homosexual gamer. But the appeal there is for those who like League of Legends or Dota or Overwatch or anything in the competitive online scene, which I am not big into at all. I just like fun people and cheap drinks. And there was raffles and sorts of prizes. That was kind of fun being a part of that. And, you know, that was interesting. But no big parties. I actually got into PAX late this year on the registration list, so all of the notifications for parties kind of fell by the wayside. There was a Twitch party that I wanted to crash, but I failed. I kept asking my friends to get me in, but it wouldn't happen. It was
I checked my email too late. I checked my email too late, but we did get an invitation to go to the 505's party on Friday night.
Are you kidding me right now? Are you joking?
I'm not. I checked it. They sent it at like 9 in the morning on Friday, and I didn't check it until later that evening when you were already doing your thing.
You are the worst. And I did go to 505's. They had a private room, and they were showing off two games. I hate you.
Sorry about it.
You deprived me of free liquor and food? Is that what you're telling me? Is that what you just told me? Is that what's happening? Is that what's happening? Steven, I have a list, a very short list. Alcohol, penis, games. Those are my three things. Those are my three things. And you took one of them away from me?
I probably took more than just one.
I am wounded.
Oh, come now, Niles. I am wounded.
Oh, Jesus. You have now become the podcast's new and official garbage person. I am no longer the keeper of that title. The mantle's been passed on to you, my friend. How dare you?
It was an accident. Yeah, so that's it. Do you have anything else that you want to talk about with PAX?
I'm excited for next year. I mean, what I like most about PAX is it's not about some people. It's not about the big developers trying to cram their games down your throat. Even though Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony had a presence at the convention, and to a lesser extent, Square Enix, Bandai Namco. I think those are the only two big ones that I saw. God, like the days of seeing like a Capcom booth are long behind us. That's weird. Yeah. Or a Konami booth. That's
Konami. Gone. Oh, R.I.P.
That used to be a thing, like a Konami booth with like all the games. That's gone. But this convention is meant entirely to highlight the underdogs, the up and comers of gaming, and it's really fun right. seeing people gather around and get excited and hype about a game that doesn't have financial backing or a huge marketing campaign to push into people's faces, or getting it covered by, you know, big time publications or journalists like, you know, the IGNs or what have you of the gaming journalist world. But it's these games, you can tell a lot of them, they live and die by word of mouth, and seeing people there enjoying them, tweeting about them, getting excited and happy about these games, that makes me like really happy.
I was just gonna say, it seems like there's a lot less pressure around it. Like it's just more of a relaxed environment.
It's definitely more chill than an E3.
Yeah.
And I hope one day you'll experience both to compare and contrast how those two conventions sort of present and run each other. E3 is more of, it was described to me, like I think I mentioned this before in our E3 podcast last year, about being fucked to death. It sounds great, but it's horrible. That's what E3 is like. And PAX East is like, it is an orgy. It's just fun. It is fun. You come and go as you please, literally.
Either way, you're getting syphilis.
It's just fun. And I just like the mindset and the layout. It's also interesting how when you first walk into the show floor, I think I sent you a few pictures.
You could see those. Yes, you could see those on our Twitter at NDS Podcast. Instagram actually. We did our first couple of Instagram posts via PAX.
Oh, look at us forgetting with the times. These old men, indeed. These two old farts, have social media.
Indeed.
But it never ceases to amaze me how when you first come down that escalator and it seems so huge, that show floor, when you see all the banners and the signs floating in midair, it's like, wow, look at all that real estate. Look at that huge footprint of gaming that's in front of me. But then as you walk around for a bit, it gets smaller and smaller for some reason, because you know where everything is. You know where all the hot spots are. You know where to go for all the action, for the good games. And it seems like it isn't that huge, which is weird. It's a weird sensation. Like, I think once you actually go there, you know what I'm talking about. Day one.
Is it kind of like your first day at a new school, and you're like, my God, there's four floors. There's all these hallways. You go down, you get lost there in all this stuff. But then
that's exactly
like a week into school, you're like, I know where every nook and cranny of this place is. All my classroom, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I also want to give a special shout out to PAX themselves for, I'm not sure if it was the first time for this year or for a previous PAX, like a PAX West or a PAX Prime, there was a PAX East app, which had a map in it.
Oh, okay.
That I could just search for a developer's name or a booth number. I can see on the map where they were. And that made going to appointments or just finding games I wanted to play so much more easier.
Right.
Because in the past, I had to pull out a whole giant map thing. They had these giant booklets. And it was so insane to find where anything was. And they did hand out these little brochure-type mini-maps, which make a fun souvenir. And I did get you one, by the way, because I do love you.
Oh, thank you. Love
you so much. So much love for you, Steven.
I got you something from GeekFest.
Oh, did you now? Oh, I'm excited.
I did.
That's going to go on the Instagram, I imagine, or on the Twitter. We can show all the fans how much we love each other.
Indeed.
He's going to bill me on Venmo. You watch, listeners. I'm going to get
a
pay request.
I am absolutely going to do a pay request. All right. That's going to bring us to the end here. That's it, Andy. We're done.
I just want to say... like in every Marvel movie, to paraphrase those films, that the Hype Zone and the Retro Game Club will return next week.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. But you know what else is happening next week?
Oh,
we have a
yes.
special interview.
Oh my God, Steven, go for it. Just let loose.
Yes. So we recorded an interview a few weeks ago with the lead artist and the lead designer and director of Monster Crown, which is a neat indie title. It's a Pokemon-esque monster training, monster breeding type RPG. Really, really cool. And actually tomorrow, on April 10th, they are launching their Kickstarter. So if you can, actually, I'm sorry, I don't have the Kickstarter link open here, but Andy, can you
look that up while I'm... It doesn't exist yet. That's why.
Okay, so, well,
if you
yes
go to
and,
the,
and
if
no,
you go to
yeah.
their Twitter page,
right,
which I believe is crowns_dev, mm-hmm. at crowns_dev, they are teasing the Kickstarter campaign with little snapshots of the banner and what have you, but no link as of yet, because why would there be one?
Well, I thought maybe like it was just not live or something. I don't know how that works. Yeah, so they are... I would assume that you just search on Kickstarter Monster Crown. Really looks cool. And it was a really fun interview.
Oh, yeah. I think one of our best. And we can also say, Steven, that if you follow us on Twitter at NDS Podcast, mm-hmm. we will definitely tweet mm-hmm. out that Kickstarter campaign link the second it goes live.
Yep. And it'll be on next week's show as well with yes, all yes. the information and everything. So, thank you very much, Andy. That was awesome. I'm very jealous and I can't wait to go next year. Hopefully nothing silly happens.
Yeah. I'm going to need you, man. I can only play so many games. I just want to say one last thing about all these games I discussed today. I will be doing a number of write-ups on these games, which you can find at provengamer.com. I'm not sure in what order, cats notwithstanding, but I have a lot of fun ideas for articles coming this
week. You have the first one, right?
The first is going to be a hands-on preview impressions piece of The Messenger, which I think was one of my favorite games of the entire convention, hands down.
Yes,
indeed. We had a lot of silly awards that I gave out this episode. That was, to get serious for a little bit, that was one of my favorite games in the entire weekend.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. All right, well, that's it. That's it for Nintendo Dual Screens. Thank you so much for listening. If you like Nintendo Dual Screens, there are many other shows a part of the Proven Gamer Network of podcasts. We have Trophy Horrors, which is a PlayStation podcast. I'm actually on this week's episode. I hosted with Alex and I yield to no one, as Tricky was at PAX East, so we couldn't join. We also have Game Stuff, General Games Discussion Podcast, and The Smart Marks, the professional wrestling podcast, which did an excellent WrestleMania preview, and I cannot wait to see what they say about the WrestleMania results and Raw and SmackDown this week. So if you like that, please look for those shows on Google Play, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, wherever. iHeartRadio streams Trophy Whores and The Smart Marks. So if you like to listen on iHeartRadio, you could do that. So go ahead, do it. You can follow us again on Twitter, at NDS Podcast, also on Instagram at NDS Podcast, easy for me to say. You can follow me on Twitter. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. And if you would like to support Proving Gamer, please go to provinggamer.com. And there are many different ways that you could support us right there on the website, aside from just clicking and looking at articles that we've written. You could also click on an Amazon banner there, do your shopping like normal, and we get a little kickback. If you have Amazon Prime, that means you have a Twitch Prime subscription, so you could click right on to our Twitch page and give us a free subscription. Costs you absolutely nothing as long as you have Amazon Prime. We're also partners, proud partners of Humble Bundle and Extra Life. If you buy through our Humble Bundle link, it will support our Extra Life charity. And also our Extra Life banner right there on the website. And you can also donate directly to our Extra Life. We'll talk more about Extra Life as the year comes closer to an end, as we're ramping up for the 24-hour live stream to raise money for the Children's Miracle Network. So that's it. Thank you, Andy, for joining me. Thank you, Zazu Pitts of Sour Note Productions, for our theme song, 8-Bit Attack. Thank you, Dan Colonna of Dinosaur Machines Podcast, which, again, has been putting out great stuff. I want to see if I can get them on the Proven Gamer network of podcasts. That would be cool. Andy, any parting words for our listeners?
I don't want to play games ever again. I'm over games. It's too many games. This is why your I'm ass glad better be there next year. I swear to God, I will kill you myself. I will kill you dead if you don't show up.
I'm glad that we did the interview a couple of weeks ago, because I know you're going to get PAX plague.
Oh, like, yeah.
Wednesday night, you are going to just be like, I'm so sick. And we're actually, spoiler alert, we're going to record the rest of next week's show together, in person, like together, on Saturday. So look forward to that. That's going to be a different show. So it's going to be a little weird.
A little weird. It's going to be a little different. It's going to get weird.
Yeah, it's going to get a little weird. Thank you very much. Again, nuts. This has been Nintendo Dual Screens. This is episode 41 for the week of April 9th. And as always, please be excellent to each other.